In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We may wonder why our Holy Mother, the Church, has chosen this Gospel for the fourth Sunday of Advent. It seems to be a little late to be hearing about St. Luke's account of the Annunciation of the Angel Gabriel to Our Lady, especially because tomorrow and the day after we will be commemorating that birth, about which we are hearing of almost like it's the first time today. But I like to think of this Gospel as a bit of an 11th hour attempt by the Church to get us into the right frame of mind, an attitude that we've been trying to acquire for ourselves all through this past short season of Advent. That's the attitude of expectation. And so what better way to get us into that frame of mind than for us to hear again the good news that the long-awaited Messiah will be born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the expectant mother, who in her joyful longing for her son represents all the people of the Old Testament who waited eagerly for the coming of their Savior. All of us know what it's like to travel for what can seem like miles toward the lights that mean home, and how difficult it is, when we're doing so, to judge the distance that remains. In the pitch-black darkness of a Canadian night, it might be only a couple of miles or just a few hundred yards to your destination. You can't quite tell. And so I think it was with the Hebrew prophets. King David knew that the Lord would give him rest from his enemies. He knew that the Lord would build a house for him, but he did not know when. King David, like his immaculate descendant Mary, looked forward in expectation to the arrival of the Savior. This attitude of expectation is what the Church is trying to train us in. It is an essential part of living as a Christian. We should be looking forward, even more than 2,000 years after the first Christmas day, taking the shepherds and the wise men as our guides, we strain forward to Bethlehem. Tense with expectation, we are to mark the days off until Christmas, just as school children count down the days left before their vacation. For soon we will push open the door to the stable and kneel there in the lights and shadows to give worship to the miracle of Christ's birth. It is a wonderful piece of drama, able to move even the hearts of unbelievers. Yet what is the motive behind all this expectation? What are we looking for? In the early days of the Church, Christians really did look forward to the second coming of the Lord in judgment. They expected it eagerly because they were tired of a world which persecuted them. They looked forward to it anxiously because they thought it was something that would happen quite soon. But that attitude isn't really ours. We know that the world has got to end sometime. We know that when it does, the whole history of it will be reviewed by a final judgment. But when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we don't mean that we want the world to end. Usually, I think we mean that we look forward to a time when the world will have caught something of the Spirit of Christ, when there will be some kind of peace between nations and justice between men and women. And I think we would keep Advent with real enthusiasm if we really felt year after year that that reign of justice was coming nearer and nearer to us. But is it? What's the sense of getting into an attitude of expectation when the thing that we expect never happens? I know, it's quite horrible when we think of it. Nearly 20 centuries we've had the Beatitudes, and we haven't learned them by heart or taken them to heart. Each Christmas there's more bad news stories, not just of our own country, but of the political turmoil that takes place year after year in the land of our Savior's birth. We all might wonder if his kingdom is getting any closer. But then we hear, "For nothing will be impossible for God." Those words were said by the angel, but they were repeated by Mary. After all, someone had to tell St. Luke what happened when the angel announced to her that she would be mother of the Messiah. Mary repeated those words to St. Luke nearly 50 years after she first heard them. By that time, she had not only seen her son in the manger at Bethlehem, but she'd seen her son on the cross. She had seen her risen son, victorious over death and sin. And though when she repeated those words, she was still with the church on earth, suffering persecution, she remembered them. She repeated them. She believed them. For nothing will be impossible with God. And so if we wonder whether Bethlehem has the power to change our hearts, hearts that are proud or self-indulgent or selfish, as we know our hearts to be, let us ask Our Lady to draw our hearts to the stable, for there is room for all of us when we learn to kneel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.